Please and turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1. Going through a series of lessons, not moving real fast here. And the fact is, I am not going to push it very fast because this is where we have gotten ourselves into trouble over the last couple generations. We talk about these things, we kind of take them for granted, and we really don't have things squared away. Exodus chapter 20, when you have Exodus chapter 20, look up at me here. Alrighty, when you're ready? Okay. Now, don't look at it. Joshua 1:8 says this book of the shall not out of, but thou shalt therein, how long? That thou mayest observe to, according to, that is, therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, that's the principle we started on there. We started out in the years, Jesus, our hope. And he is our hope. He's our hope for salvation. He's our hope the way from hell. He's a hope for to help us through the days. Help for our marriage, for our relationship, for that to find the will of God, to fulfill the will of God. He's our hope. And the fact is, there are a lot of people who say, well, I go to church, I do this and I do that, but it's just not working for me. It's because we're not working the plan, because you see, there was a formula for success. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Think about it, mutter it, have it on the tip of your tongue. Meditate therein day and night. For then, that's the guarantee. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You're going to get ahead. You listen, if you ever feel like life is nothing but a treadmill, you're wanting, you're going, you're sweating, and getting nowhere. You're tired when the day is done. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And the fact is, we may have been just kind of treading water, running on the treadmill, but the fact is, we start fulfilling our obligation of the formula, God will start fulfilling his promises. Now, he says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. This book of the Now, when he wrote that, do you know what they really had? The Ten Commandments. Well, I've got them down. Name them. Now, some of you could. A lot of our kids who go through the Lighthouse Kids program on Wednesday and back here in Children's Church, they can. And they should. And they ought to be on the walls of every school and courthouse and public building and your house, they ought to be somewhere where we know these things, because we got to live by them. We can't live by them. We don't know them. That's why they're supposed to not depart out of thy mouth. Mutter it day and night. Now, the fact is, we say, well, I understand. I have no God. But we've already learned a few things that God in our life is more than just a figurehead. It's more than just a figurehead in our life. Well, I put him there, and I'll come back and visit him once in a while, and I'll pray, and I'll let him provide my needs, and I'll do this, and I'll tell him how good he is and pat him on the back. And that's not what we mean when we're talking about having a God. Let me read the first verses of Exodus chapter 20. It says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. He says, I am the Lord, Jehovah, the creator of all the universe, and I'm your God. And listen, one of the reasons I can prove I'm your God, he says, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That didn't just happen by accident. They've been there for hundreds of years. Generation after generation after generation after generation. That means things can change even though they've been the same for hundreds of years. You say, well, our generation's been this. This has been my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and his friend. This is just the way we are. Things can change. Then Jesus came. All things are new. So he says, brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He says, I'm the one who saved you. If you want to put this in New Testament words, He's the one who died for your sins and gave you a new life. You're no longer bound in sins and trespasses. Okay? Now, that's who he is. Commandment number one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We've talked about that. Commandment number two. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. If you want to love him, keep his commandments, says, I'm going to show you my mercy. See, we don't deserve a thing. We don't deserve the breath he gives us. We don't breathe. We don't deserve the food on our table, the clothes on our back, the roof on our head. Everything he does because, listen, he's God. He's perfect. We have no right to be in his presence. And yet, he cares for us all by his mercy. Let's pray. And years ago, I did a message. I called this, I'm not going to use this title, but creating God in our own image. And that's kind of what we're talking about here this morning. But I'm going to call this worshiping and serving God. Law number two. This book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou mayest, but we're supposed to observe to do all that is written therein. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths. And thank you that you didn't leave us helpless. But you wrote it down in black and white, put it right here for us to see. You provided it for us. And Lord, we have no excuse except our own selfishness or laziness not to know the word of God and live by it and claim the promise that you've given us. Now, Lord, there may be someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray that today be the day of their salvation. And those who have been living maybe in a way and haven't seen your progress, hasn't seen your success. Oh, they might have money. They might have things. They might even have a good job. But there's some things in their life that just feel, they just feel like a failure. They're not seeing you do great and mighty things. They're not seeing the blessings that they want to see from you. They're not seeing the sweetness of the Spirit within their homes and so forth. But Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us here today and help us take another step. Now we've decided you're our God, but Lord, that we're going to deal with you. We're going to interact with you in a proper way and realize who you are in our lives. So Lord, we pray that you're blessed. We ask your Spirit to move in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the first four commandments pertain to our relationship with God. The last six pertain to our relationship with man. Now, the two great commandments, they ask Jesus, what's the great commandment? He says, well, he says, the first is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. The second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two laws hang all the law and prophets. So he says that you can put these things in these two categories. And frankly, that's what we have. Love God. And if we love God, it changes who we are. We love others. Now, we found that we are to have no other gods but Jehovah. He's the one we separate ourselves to. The one that we serve. The one that we obey. The one that we fear. The one that we trust for our provision. The one that we trust for our protection. The one that we trust for our philosophy and perspective in life. We also must worship God for who he is. We cannot take someone or something other than Jehovah and call it God or imply that it is Jehovah and then claim we're holding to the one true God. A symbol or an image is not the real thing. Now, if you want to turn to it, you can, but just a couple pages over in Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, we come to this already. You're in Exodus 20, this is Exodus 32. Moses was up on a mountain getting the Ten Commandments. And he'd been up there a little while. And when the people saw that Moses delayed, it says in verse 1, to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, first of all, they had their eyes on a man. See that? The man who brought, no, God brought them out. He said, I'm the Lord God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I'm the one. They didn't hear that. And by the way, you better be careful putting your faith and your trust in a man above the word of God. Me or anybody else. Well, I heard so-and-so on TV, and you know what he said? That made a lot of sense. And he quoted some verses. Listen, I know I've seen people quote verses, and they pull them out of context, and it becomes a pretext, and we've got a mess. A mess. Study that word of God. Anyway, it says, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For this, as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. So what happens is when God didn't move on their timetable or do as they thought he should, they just go to another God. Which goes to show how much their God really meant to them. What if I came home late for dinner? My wife said, well, he's not here. I'll go find another husband. You know? Man tends to think that God is something for us to use and to be controlled by us. When actually we are the created ones, and we were created for God's glory and for His pleasure. We are to be controlled by God because not only did He make us, but He bought us back. We're bought with a price, the blood of His dear Son. Now, it goes on in verse 2, it says, And Aaron said unto them, Well, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters and bring them unto me. By the way, God gives. Right? God gave them the wealth when they left Egypt. All these things they have went out with a high hand. Man's gods take. It's almost as if God can't pay his own bills. Tithe, so we're supposed to give our tithe. That has nothing to do with the bills. He uses those to pay the bills. But it's all about whether you trust him to pay your bills. That's what the tithe is all about. So that's a big chunk of change, you know. You think about, I make too much money to tithe. I've heard them say that. Well, I don't make enough money to tithe. Well, I make too much to tithe. It's, you know, listen, it's all his. He lets you use 90% of it, and he's just asking for the 10 back. And I'll guarantee you, God will honor his promise. Go back to Malachi 3:10. Go back. I can't tell you how many times we've been tight. I mean, you all have taken good care of us. I'm not complaining. But, I mean, in years past, every time we were tight, we didn't know where our next dime was coming from, next meal, you know, and we just kept tithing. I was scared not to because I needed his blessing. I needed him to open the windows of heaven. Bring out his blessing, so we tithe. We didn't have it. Well, that's all right. My tithe. Listen, sometimes our tithe was probably $20, maybe less than that. There was times our tithe of the week wasn't much at all. But the fact is, God keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. So anyway, verse 3, and all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron and received them at their hand and fashioned it with the graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. So in other words, by the way, the creator gets the control. So if you create your own God, you feel like we can control it. If we create, we get to call the shots. If God has created, then he gets to call the shots. We like creating our God. And it goes on and says, and they said, These be thy gods, O Israel,
which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. The people agreed and determined who God is. I want you to think about that. Our society, men, for generations and generations, for thousands of years, have been trying to decide who and what God is. Well, if that's what God is, I don't need him. Well, I think God should do. Well, that, you know, that's the kind of God you have. I don't need. Listen, we have been trying to decide who God is pretty well since the beginning of time. Watch this. Verse 5. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. It, the golden calf. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. First he calls it, and then he calls it the Lord. Well, which is it? It's the it. It's not the Lord. Just because we call it God. Listen, there's a lot of, again, there's a lot of people who will do things and they'll do this and do that, and they'll blame it on God. God didn't have anything to do with any of it. He didn't want his name on that thing. We're doing things in the name of God. That wasn't what he asked us to do. Verse 6. And they rose up early on the morning. It's amazing when we have our own gods, we can get up early in the morning. I remember when I was a kid. Now, my dad got saved later in life, but we'd struggle to get to church on time. We were always late. Watch this. One day, on Time Change Sunday in the fall, we forgot to change the clock. So we got there and there wasn't anybody there yet. And I was like, oh my soul, Time Change Sunday, we got a whole hour. So Dad said, let's take a drive. You know, we showed up late. We showed up late on Time Change Sunday. You know, we got an extra hour. We still, listen, but I tell you what, when it was a car show day, we were out on time. We got out early, got the old car going, cranked up. He'd have his Stanley steamer, had to be up extra early because it takes a half an hour to build up some pressure of steam before you can get that car to roll off dead center. And so we were out, we were going to get in the car and go. But it was Sunday. It was car show day. It's funny how we'll serve the gods we want to serve. By the way, before he died, he looked at me. It was Christmas, right before he passed. And he says, you know, Sterling, he says, I guess there's some things more important than cars, aren't there? And we were talking about the things of the Lord. So anyway, verse 6, and he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Boy, sounds like a good church. I mean, good, you know, they went to the place and they offered. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. So let's go to church and have fun. You know what our problem is? We don't have enough fun in church. You know what? We don't have enough activities. We don't play enough. We eat enough. I know that. We're Baptists. But we don't play enough about this. Now listen, watch me. The new building back here is going to have a gymnasium. Okay? Hang on. We spent a lot of money in a ball field back there. Okay? Now there's nothing wrong. When the teens get out, we have a small Christian school. They ought to have phys ed so they don't end up like me. And we need things like, there's nothing wrong with that. But when that takes over, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. Now, frankly, I like a big gym because you can feed 500 people down there. But anyway, but you see, even then, well, I'll come when you eat. Now, I'm not going to mention any names, but we have certain people who show up when we're going to have the picnic after church or we're going to have, you know, I'm glad you're here, and I want you to come. But the fact is, there's some of you don't see for, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night at all, until we eat, then they're going to come. Now, I'm not trying to be mean about this. Honest, I'm not. We said, well, here's the problem. Well, we had a big crew, and when we fed them, maybe we should feed them every week. You see what I'm saying? We're creating a God in our own image when he meets my needs. You know, we go to church. I'm not going to get to my message here. When we come to church sometimes, and you say, well, you know, the preacher preached, you know, it didn't have anything to do with me. It will. Wasn't today. You don't know what the phone's going to say when you pick it up tomorrow morning. Or maybe next week, or maybe might be next year. But there's nothing new under the sun. There's no temptation that hath taken you except that which is common to man. He says, there's a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, seeing that he worketh in your brethren also. It's just a matter of time. God, look. By the time you're sneezing and blowing and all this, and I know anybody can have a cold and so forth, but that's not the time to start eating your broccoli. Well, it's better late than never, I guess. But, you know, you got to eat it ahead of time so you can save yourself from that mess. You see what I'm saying? Come and say, I don't know what this is, and I hope it never happens, but I want to be ready. I want to know the truth of the Word of God. I want to make my way prosperous. I want to have good success. I want to be able to go through life and see what God has done. So I need to be able to make the decisions now before the crisis comes and I make some stupid knee-jerk reaction. So I need to learn it now. This book, the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Well, it doesn't all apply to me right now. It will. And if it doesn't, just praise the Lord. Be grateful. Don't complain. So he rose up, verse 6, rose up early in the morning, morrow, and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. When we create God, we get to make the rules and decide what God likes. It is amazing that the God we make always likes what we like. He always stands where we stand. Now again, I'm not trying to be mean here. But we're supposed to have a fear of God. So really, it's about, and I know that's not God, you know, he's not anywhere anymore by that cross than he is anywhere else, but we used to go to church, and at least some generations back, and say, Lord, here we are. Tell us what we need to know. Teach us. Teach us your word. What should we do that pleases you? We used to be a Savior-sensitive religion. I'm sensitive to what my Savior wants, and I want to do what pleases my Savior. And I'm going to use the term, we're worried about being seeker-sensitive. Now watch me. What the difference is that we, I'm saying we, Christendom, got to the point that we created a God in our own image, and God's only happy if you wear a suit and a tie and a hanky just for show and not for blow. And if you didn't do that, then you're not happy. We don't like you. Well, where'd you get that? Are you dressed modestly? Are you covered up? You know, I mean, are you giving the Lord your best? Well, then fine. Who cares? Now, like anything else, we have some uniforms for, you know, leadership requirements, but so does McDonald's. You want to wear one of those hats or visors? I don't want to, but I'm not gonna. But we're not making you do that. We're not making anybody do anything except put some clothes on. But we're all worried about pleasing him because we think if we got him in the room, we've done our job. But see, once we got him in the room, we don't want to say some of the stupid things that Pastor Wall says, makes him mad, and then he never come back. We don't want to say the real word of God because we're afraid they won't come back. and now we failed. Now, wait a minute. No, speak the truth in love, but be emphatic about it. Amen. Speak with firmness. Amen. It's not, listen, it's not the 10 suggestions.
Amen.
It's not the 10 options.
Amen.
It's the 10 commandments. This is God speaking. In fact, if they say, well, that's not the God I want, as much as I want them saved, but they're going to, if that's where they're going to do, they're not going to go here, then this is not the place for them.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I want them here. Don't get me. And the door, they come back and say, I don't want that. And they come back, oh, hey, I'm going to be glad that they're here. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad that they're here. I want to be here. But if they just said, that's stupid, well, they're not going to like it here. Birds of a feather.
Amen.
Even
Amen.
Turkeys like me. You know, birds of a feather flock together. If you want to know the Word of God, you want to stand for what God says, there's a good place to be.
Amen.
But if you want to make a God in your own image, it's not going to work real well here. It's just not. Because the definitions are different. They're different. And so they rose up to play. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have, look at it, corrupted themselves. That's not a good word. He says things are breaking down. Things are not right. And by the way, it usually doesn't happen overnight. You've heard me talk about my 1972 Kingswood Estate station wagon. When I became 16, my dad, he says, here's a car you can use. And that, it really wasn't very old. But about that time, I don't know what it's, Chevy did not know how to make a body that didn't rust. I've never seen anything like it in the 70s, late 70s and 80s. It was just something. And it was a great car. Go anywhere. I mean, just run and run and run and run and run until the body fell off. The car was 72, and by 76, 4 years old, we had a hole that he had patched three times already over the driver's side door. And the rust just kept coming back and just blister. You know, it didn't happen all overnight, but just kind of happened. Little by little by little by little by little. I finally got rid of the car, and I used to use it to haul PA equipment at a musical group. And we had all the stuff. We were waiting to go in and set up, and it was raining hard. We literally had streams of water coming in the side from both sides. It was filling up where the feet's supposed to be. So you got your feet up, you know, like this. And it was literally filling up the little reservoir there. So I guess it's time. It would run. It would have gone anywhere. It would have run another 150,000. But it was done. Corruption. Where'd it come from? You know what? The weird thing was, it came from down underneath. And then it would bubble up through. The corruption wasn't coming from the outside. The corruption was coming from
Amen.
Underneath.
Right.
And you get this little blister.
Right.
That's why leprosy was a picture of sin in the Bible. You get this little blister, and then it just kind of erupt. And the sin, the corruption came from the inside, not the outside. Unless once it got going, being around other lepers, you'd catch the disease and it'd come out of, but you see, you got it from running around the wrong crowd. Now, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just saying, we got to be careful about making a God in our own image. Verse 8. He says, they have turned aside quickly, since chapter 20. Here it is, chapter 32. It didn't take long. They've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, an image. They've created what they thought God should be and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You know, and again, I'm probably going to get myself in trouble, make somebody mad. But I've been surprised how there'll be people who will serve in a ministry and serve and serve and serve and serve and serve. And I'm glad for some folks who are servants. But it's like it gets to the point where they're never really under the hearing of the Word of God anymore. And you know, you could run a little while on the momentum, but after a while, gas tank gets empty. But they will do and they will do and they will do and they will do. And the fact that we're not careful, church will just take and take and take and take. And forget about the soul of the person that is now destitute, barren of the Word of God. You know, if we all just kind of did a little bit here and there and yon, we'd have fine. You know the old saying, there's always 10% of the people that do 90% of the work. And there's about 10% of the people who pay 90% of the bills. I'm not trying. It's just like, well, I'll do what I want to do. Now, wait a minute. They got up and they worshiped. They worked. They got up early. They served this calf. But they didn't want to have a whole lot to do with Moses and the law. They've turned aside quickly. And then they said, this is God. No, it isn't. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, see, we all decided. We all put our hands together. We all decided this is God. And he's called Jehovah. That's another reason why you got to be careful. Again, TV guy on the radio, whatever. Well, they said something about Jesus. Well, I heard the word God go by 2 or 3 times. I know they're good people because, you know, they quote a lot of scripture. So does Satan. Amen. So I don't want to be critical. I don't want to just question everybody. Well, you need to be discerning.
Amen.
When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And you know what? You get that in there all the time. After a while, things are wrong. It shows up. You've heard the illustration, and I'm almost done. And I haven't got to point number one. The old illustration, when somebody's job is to detect a counterfeit, they do not go through all the counterfeits. All they have to know is the real one real well. It's all you need to know. It's really not that complicated. The fact is, some of these so-called Christian cults make no sense at all if you actually know the book. Brother Nathan was speaking in Sunday school here this morning. Calvinism is not a question. If you know the book, it just doesn't make. Well, they were really smart and had doctor before their name and enough degrees after their name to be called a thermometer. But listen, if it doesn't go with the book, it's not true. Know the book. Don't just take. I've actually heard him say, "Well, you spend too much time reading the Bible. You ought to read some books. Get out there and read something else about the Bible." Well, I do read some things besides the Bible. But the Bible takes precedence. It's the priority. It outweighs. This is the Word of God. It's not just a bunch of words thrown on a page by a bunch of people over the last several centuries. The Word of God. Man, I didn't even get to it. This Allah is not Jehovah. Now, there are that's their word for God, and it is probable that some people who become a Christian, like in some they're not mad at me, they're hitting on the bus. There's some folks who got saved still called Allah because that's the word they have. But the Allah of the Quran is not Jehovah. There's two different characters.
They're two different characters. Today, watch, we begin speaking on how we are to relate to God. And listen, and Jehovah is God. If he is, then he deserves our reverence and our devotion. We can prosper and we can have good success, but all that begins with our relationship with God. First, we must understand and trust the one true God and have no other gods and no other objects of faith in position above God. Man, I didn't even get the first point. We got lots to talk about. We'll talk about next week. Listen, we're trying to convince ourselves that we're okay. There was a president some years ago who didn't know the definition of the word is. He said, well, it all depends on what your definition of the word is. Now, you older folks, you know what I'm talking about. That's how we play games. We change the definitions. We define it differently. And there's a lot of people say, well, I have faith. But what's the definition? They'll say they are saved. But what's their definition? They say they believe. But what's their definition? I'm serious. I can hardly say, I'll be honest with you, I know folks have done it for years, but I cannot go up to someone and say, are you a Christian? Because there's all definitions of Christian. God, let God define himself. And we get on board with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to us this morning. Lord, I didn't really get where I was headed. But Lord, I'm hoping I got where you were headed. So Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question. Do you truly, truly know God? I mean the God of the Bible, Jehovah. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure without a shadow of a doubt that you would go to heaven? If you're not sure, you can be sure before you leave here this morning. We would love to take the Bible, the Word of God, not Sterling Walsh or anybody else, but the Bible, and show you how you can know for sure. God will guarantee you heaven. Now, maybe there's some here this morning. You'd be baptized. Maybe you need to join a church. You come in just a few moments when the first note of the piano, you come. For the rest of us here this morning, do you have a good definition of God? And do you approach him as he really is? Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The piano's going to play. Lord, spoken to your heart, would you come?